Will you stand with Israel or will you stand with the terrorists? We must know the answer to that question now. Now, not later. Because if Israel is again asked to take more risk for peace, we must know today that you will stand with us tomorrow. Only if we have the confidence that we can defend ourselves can we take further risks for peace. And make no mistake about it, all of Israel wants peace.
Live from New York, this is the Beebe Report Live Show on Israel.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the capital of the world, New York, please welcome Jacob Kornblum from Chicagoland, the stormy, husky, and brawling city. Please welcome my co-host, Eric Vogt. You're listening to the Beebe Report live radio show broadcasting from New York and Chicago. Tonight, experiencing the latest attack on Israel following the turmoil in the Middle East and a possible threat from a nuclear Iran, we discuss how critical it is for Israel to focus.
We in the United States counted on our government, the American government, to stand with Israel now and forever, just as the people of America stand with Israelis.
I stand tonight with Israel.
Tonight on the Beebe Report, Judge Richard Goldstone expresses regret over the Goldstone Report. In an article published in the Washington Post, he painted a very different picture from the original report, stating, "If I had known what I know now, the Goldstone Report would have been a different document." And I want to discuss that tonight. What was not known for Judge Goldstone that he figured it out years later? How much has he contributed to the delegitimization of Israel, encouraging the UN anti-Israel condemnation and attacks? Is the damage done for Israel's image? And what lessons have we learned from the latest events in the Middle East? and the task that lays upon the Western world to remove the real threat to world's peace. Our guest tonight on the discussion board is Claire Lopez, a former CIA agent, senior fellow for the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., and co-author of the Team B2 report, Sharia, the Threat to America, to discuss several items concerning liberty, freedom, and democracy under attack in the United States, and the situation that just occurred in Afghanistan, what this means for us in the United States. All this and more over the next 2 hours, right after this short break.
לא יודע מה לומר, לא רציתי להכיב את היום שכבר נגמר, אין לי דרך להשיב. הסירי כעס מליבך ונסי למחול, אל תקי ילד בקרבך ושלך למרות הכל. גם ההבטחה, גם כוחה, גם רוחה. לו היית את כף ידך על צווארי מניחה, לא הייתי עוד מתבייש שביקשתי סליחה. איש חכם היה נשמע ויודע שתלכי, איש טיפש אם לקח מה, מקווה שתסלחי. זכרי לי חסד נעורי, את אמונתי כאן מולך מוטלים שברי, בואי ואחי אותי.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. This is the BB Report live radio show program broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/BB Report, where you could listen to the show live, participate in the live chat room, and on demand on the same page. While you're at it, you could click the follow button to follow us for alerts and updates. Judge Richard Goldstone published on April the 1st an article in the Washington Post. Now, according to the Yediot Ahronot newspaper, as I broke the story last night on Twitter, according to associates to Judge Goldstone, the New York Times refused to publish the same article 2 weeks earlier. Now they are denying that report. Ben Smith in Politico made some research, and a source in the New York Times denied that claim, saying that there was nothing new to the article Richard Goldstone submitted to the New York Times 2 weeks ago. Well, when he had some anti-Israel attacking points, they found time and place to publish his articles. So I hope you listeners on the show put some heat on the New York Times. We have several tools to do that. If it's Twitter, if it's sending emails to the editor, if it's commenting on New York Times articles online, or if it's just exposing all the anti-Israel bias reports that we keep on reading on the New York Times, which claims to be the most important newspaper in the world. We know what damage it has done already to the world. But back to our point, Richard Goldstone wrote in the Washington Post, headlining "Reconsidering the Goldstone Report on Israel and War Crimes," in which he painted a different picture from the original Goldstone Report, stating, and I quote, "If I had known then what I know now, the Goldstone Report would have been a different document." Goldstone stated that the crimes committed by Hamas were intentional. Goes without saying, its rockets were purposefully and indiscriminately aimed at civilian targets. He continued, "Israel, like any other sovereign nation, has the right and obligation to defend itself and its citizens against attacks from abroad and within. Good morning, Mr. Goldstone." Was this not known to you 2 years ago? Didn't you see 8,000, 10,000 rockets flying over to Israel before even Israel started to react, to respond? That is acceptable. But using civilian human shields, attacking intentionally civilians? Well, if the Hamas would have investigated what happened there, he would have considered a different report. So in response to the Goldstone Report, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called upon the UN to immediately cancel the Goldstone Report, and he stated, "Everything we have said has proven to be true. Israel did not intentionally harm civilians. Its institutions and investigative bodies are worthy, while Hamas intentionally fired upon innocent civilians and did not examine anything. The fact that Goldstone backtracked must lead to the shelving of this report once and for all," and in our language it says, "throw it in the trash can." Israel's ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, stressed that Goldstone Washington Post article reconfirms, as if we have not known it before, Israel's right of self-defense against Hamas terror out of Gaza. And he says, In this article, Judge Goldstone contrasts the deliberate targeting of civilians by Hamas and its refusal to investigate its own war crimes with Israel's efforts to avoid civilian casualties and to fully investigate charges of IDF misconduct. Unfortunately, Judge Goldstone reached these conclusions only now, after his report seriously impaired the ability of Israel and of all democratic states to defend themselves, and furnished a major victory for terror. The recent spate of terror attacks, including the massacre of the Fogel family in Itamar, must, even as Judge Goldstone now insists, be condemned in the strongest of terms by all international organizations. These include the UN Human Rights Council, which, as Judge Goldstone only belatedly admits, is deeply biased against Israel. As Israel and the democratic world continue to face terrorist threats from Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, and Iran, the Goldstone Report must be utterly discredited. The editor of the Jerusalem Post, David Horowitz, pays close attention to Goldstone's words and places them in a truly deserved moral context. Yom Kippur has evidently come early this year for Richard Goldstone. He couldn't quite bring himself in his Friday's article to write, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have sinned. I have committed a crime against the Jewish people. Please forgive me." But no. The astounding piece in the Washington Post by the Jewish Justice, who accused Israel of war crimes and possible crimes against humanity in Gaza during Operation Cast Lead, represents nothing less than an apology to Israel. "How tragic that is," he continues, "that Goldstone so misplaced his moral compass in the first place as to have produced a report that he calls such irreversible damage to Israel's good name. Tragic least of all for the utterly discredited Goldstone himself, and most of all for our unfairly besmirched armed forces and the country they were putting their lives on the line to honorably defend against a ruthless, murderous, terrorist government in Gaza. An apology just isn't good enough. The very least he owes to Israel is to work unstintingly from now on to try to undo the damage he has caused." Yom Kippur came early this year for Richard Goldstone. However, his show of penitence has come far too late. And Defense Minister Ehud Barak added to that on Saturday that in order to repair the damage done by the Goldstone Report, the judge should present his current conclusions before all of the international bodies who were presented the original report and not merely give his opinion only in an opinion article. Melanie Phillips, a known journalist, writes in a blog post, and I quote her. It's kind of, I relate to it because she speaks the British language. So I would say I find something in common when I express my thoughts. "What self-serving rubbish! There was ample evidence at the time from numerous sources that Hamas was telling lies about the number of civilians who were killed by Israeli fire. There was ample evidence that Hamas was deliberately putting civilians in harm's way. there were ample evidence that Hamas does not operate under the rule of law or uphold human rights. There was ample evidence that Israeli rules of engagement required the IDF to avoid hitting civilians wherever possible. And there were ample evidence that Israel always investigates allegations of misconduct made against its soldiers and holds them to account under the rule of law. Yet Goldstone, having accepted the poisoned kaliz from the UN Human Rights Council to subject Israel to a show trial whose verdict preceded the evidence, choose to believe the propaganda put out by Hamas and its proxies among NGOs with a long track record of malevolent hostility to Israel. Even now, in his purported mea culpa, Goldstone does not take responsibility for the big lie he helped perpetrate with such terrible consequences in putting rocket fuel behind Israel's delegitimization as a pariah in the eyes of the world. Instead, he blames his false conclusions upon Israel's refusal to cooperate with his inquiry. All those who have used Goldstone report as a basis for their own delegitimization of Israel now also stand revealed as having endorsed one of the worst officially sanctioned international falsehoods in history, she continues. All their attacks on Israel, which relied upon Goldstone's report, are now shown to be equally baseless and discredited. Any future such attacks which use this report as an authority will be demonstrably false and malicious. The UN should now declare the Goldstone report null and void. Any less will make it knowingly and demonstrably party to a travesty of justice. But of course, like all previous blood libels against the Jews, the poison this one has injected into the global bloodstream has no antidote. The damage is done, and no amount of self-serving recantations by Richard Goldstone will undo the terrible harm he has done. He not only owes an apology, I claim, to the Jewish people, but to all of those who stand up for human rights, for humanity and freedom. The attacks in the past 2 years on Israel, if it's the rocket attacks, if it's the killing of innocent children or terror bombs, if it's the incitement by the Palestinian Authority, the hatred speech by Ahmadinejad in Tehran, and the delegitimization, if it's condemnation by the UN and the international bodies, the Western world, all the governments across the world, by condemning Israel's settlements, all this came because Judge Goldstone set a standard. You can attack Israel, you can accuse Israel, you could put Israel on trial, but the terrorist groups that started this conflict, the terrorist groups that targeted civilians, the terrorist groups that see only the destruction of Israel, of any country that has some base of freedom and democracy, were credited by this report saying, you continue what you're doing now and it will be all fine. Israel will always be the one looked up for. Israel will always be the one condemned and attacked if it does something to defend itself on its borders. Israel is not fighting the war somewhere across the world, not on its borders. It's our existence. We are defending ourselves. And if we are being targeted by a terror regime that was elected by the Palestinian people, if we are being continued to be hated by our neighbors that claim in English they want peace, this must stop. Richard Goldstone will only be accepted, will only be credited if he does the opposite. If he cleans Israel from all these allegations and claims and exposes the Hamas regime, the Iranian proxies, and those who seek the destruction, and those efforts to delegitimize Israel's existence as a Jewish state or as a free country. But what are the lessons, ladies and gentlemen? Not only has Israel the right to defend itself, but as it faces daily threats, threats that not only target Israelis, but call for the destruction of the Jewish nation, it's upon the West to stand up and take a stand. It must thwart all efforts of those who seek to delegitimize Israel, to incite against Israel, and who support, fund, and justify terror acts against Israeli civilians. It has to go after the root of the conflict, those who intentionally seek to kill innocent. There are over 100 pages and groups on Facebook, promoted on Twitter and on blogs that call for a third intifada against Israel. Iran continues to be a threat not only to Israel but to the world by arming, funding, and smuggling in weapons to the region in violation to international law. This is where the world has to go after, and not after settlements or demand Israeli concessions. And I want to bring up a point. Yair Lapid, a national figure and the host of Channel 2 Ulpan Shishi on Friday night, writes in a weekly column in Yediot Achronot newspaper, and I found it interesting to translate it to you listeners from the Hebrew language. And he touches on the failure of Israeli public relations in the battle for the mind of people. Yes, he says, we can improve our image and explanation, but it won't happen so fast. We live in a world that, in the media slang, there's no place for justice. Can you tell yourself who is right in Bahrain, in the civil war in Rwanda, in Ireland that has gone over 30 years? The answer is, this is not the measure. The world is not interested who is just. It asks itself one simple question: who suffers more? In this TV battle, the winner is who gets killed, injured, hungrier, and pitier than the other. The more you suffer, the more your image looks better. This has been the case too, as we have experienced in the past conflicts lately. Because to this Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there are much more elements to it. It's not only the occupation. It includes the denial of the Holocaust by Mahmoud Abbas, the refusal of the Palestinian Authority to recognize the Jewish state of Israel in any border, the fact that according to history, there's never been a state called Palestine, and the fact that the Islam terror has proven to us time and again that we simply cannot rely on them when it comes to our security. But this is not the picture the world is getting. The media will always be sympathetic to us when we go through terror attacks, because when we are weak and attacked, we fit that suffering style picture. But folks, this is not what we want to achieve. This was not the reason why we established a state of our own. We want peace and quiet for ourselves. So explaining that won't help much. Rather, strengthening ourselves within will do the job, and changing by ourselves the situation. Stop being apologetic about ourselves, but do everything in our power to pursue peace, to come up with initiatives based on the special and guarded interest of Israel, and strengthen our security. As Donald Rumsfeld told the RJC meeting in Vegas this Saturday, Israel is not what's wrong in the Middle East region. In fact, Israel is one thing that is right in the region. This is Israel. But at the same time, we need to recognize perils and seize opportunities. Right now, when the world is using force to stop butchers and dictators from killing their own people, we must tell them with a clear voice, you must take action now. You must lead the war against Iran that calls for the killing of the Jews and Christians, that kills and stones homosexuals and women who get up to mischief, that funds and backs terrorist groups that kill innocent children and are now on the verge of obtaining dangerous nuclear weapons. In an interview with CNN, ex-National Security Advisor to President Obama strengthened my argument I've been making for weeks. And this is what he said on the State of the Union. Iran is flying under the radar right now. You don't hear too much about their nuclear program because everyone else is focused elsewhere. But you can bet that Iran is affecting virtually everything and trying to play in every one of those countries where we are having some difficulties. Iran is out there agitating things, he said. So instead of ushering in an era of freedom in the Arab world, the US administration's actions, influenced by Western Europe, the media and academia, will enable undemocratic Islamic radicals such as Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, Iran and its proxies to win, becoming the only beneficiaries of what could have been the so-called Arab Spring. We could go back to the 17th century. If the United States administration does not intend to change the current course soon and adopt a clear strategy that protects American security and advances U.S. interest by removing the threat to world's peace and freedom, we all know the Middle East will be facing a hellish future. We need to break the axis of evil. If the world is already using force, if it's already using the best of its weapons to ouster a butcher, a dictator that kills his own people, that has to be out of power. It must focus on the real threat to the world's peace. Iran is the main obstacle to peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Defense Minister Ehud Barak claimed today in an exclusive Channel 2 Reshet 360 interview, saying Hamas has missiles that could reach the suburbs of Tel Aviv, where the elite of Israel are living there. A commander just said Hamas has over 10,000 of rockets and missiles to target every city in Israel. I mean, this is Americans' interest, because not only is Israel an ally to the United States in the Middle East region, but Israel fights every day the enemies of America. Just listen to the rhetoric that is being said in the mosques, in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in all of the Arab countries that we so-called have ties with. They don't blame only Israel for what they call humanitarian crisis. They blame the United States because freedom is in war with their fanaticism. Western civilization doesn't stick together with their ideology. And they're coming out to get us here in the United States. They have already ties with Venezuela. As we know, according to numerous reports, Al-Qaeda is already based in Brazil, targeting America. Who else? The Muslim Brotherhood in Chicago, preaching against America's freedom. This is not a regional conflict. Egypt, millions of people went out to the streets to call for democracy and to topple the dictator Mubarak from power because he was a threat to freedom. So who is the alternative right now? Mohammed El-Baradei. He has unofficially the support of the Muslim Brotherhood, that's the most organized group in Egypt. And he said, in Arabic of course, he wouldn't state it in English, but in Arabic he claimed that if Israel attacks Gaza, he, as president of Egypt, if he gets elected, will call upon the Arab countries surrounding Israel to go to war with Israel and attack Israel, because it targets the terrorist regime in Gaza, targeting Israeli civilians. This is what we are up for. Libya. The rebels in Libya, according to the CNN, counts less than 1,000 people. They have no arms. They are not trained. That file goes further and says that the military facilities that were taken over by the rebels in Benghazi were, the dangerous weapons were handed over to Hezbollah and Hamas. I would leave that for the intelligence to prove it. But who is the alternative in Libya, if not Al-Qaeda and radical groups that seek to take over this country and finish the work Muammar Gaddafi has not achieved, and that's building a nuclear facility to threaten the world? Why isn't the world attacking Iran? We know why. Because Iran has some deterrence. It has proxies all around the world. It's building nuclear weapons, so it has some dangerous missiles that America doesn't want to start a war with them, although we could defeat them. This is what we are up to. We are weak. And as long as we're not standing strong, we're not focusing on the main threat. And the main threat is Iran. Say it out clear. If we went to Iraq to topple Saddam Hussein, because according to then, he had some weapons of mass destruction. He didn't have a nuclear because Israel, Menachem Begin, did the right choice and destroyed that nuclear plant in 1981. But he had weapons of mass destruction and he killed his own people. Therefore, he was a threat to the region and to the world. And I supported that war, liberating Iraq from the Saddam Hussein regime is better for the world. The world is much better off now without Saddam Hussein in power. But Iran is a greater threat than Saddam Hussein. Iran has already these weapons of mass destruction. It's killing Israelis daily. It's targeting Israeli civilians daily. It's arming Hezbollah and Hamas on a daily basis with the worst damaging weapons. It's funding weak governments across the region in order for them to create a base that is closer to Israel and closer to their ambition, the destruction of Israel. And we're not getting it. We are only reacting to current events. We're only responding. We're not mind thinking. We're not looking forward. If we look back, we could have prevented attacks on Americans. We could have prevented a lot of souls and innocent people that were killed. But we didn't focus on the main threat. And now is the time. It's late, but it's never too late. And we have power because we can call upon our representatives, upon our leaders, and tell them we are fed up. We are fed up of political talk. We are fed up of covering the real threats. We are fed up. It's our lives that are at stake. Our elected leaders have security service, have bunkers, have all the ways to survive any attack. But it's us, American people, it's us, Israeli people, that our lives are at stake if we let these fanatics continue to build their dream, and that's imposing the law of Islam across the entire world. We have to stop it. We can stop it. And we have to stop it right now. And Eric, you'll discuss later on the videotape published by Eric Stackelberg, what the Iranian regime really thinks of the turmoil in the Middle East, what its goal is, and we covered it a lot in our segment, but we'll have more right after this short break. And coming up is Claire Lopez with an interesting discussion. Don't go away. Place the link of our show on Twitter, on your Facebook page, or email them to your friends to listen to the BB Report. Know the truth when it matters most.
The Rebbe says, think good, it'll be good. Trach good, mit sein good.
Music, music dancing. Music should dance me away. Music dancing, music should dance me away. Met a little boy with big brown eyes. He said, "Trach gut, mit sein gut." I met a little girl who had no hair. She said, "Trach gut, mit sein gut." Oh, trach gut, mit sein gut. Oh, trach gut, mit sein gut. Oh, trach gut, mit sein gut to me. Trach gut, mit sein gut. And if you wanna come along and sing with me, say Trach gut, mit sein gut. Oh, trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut to me. Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut to me. Music dancing, music should dance me away. Music, music, oh music dancing, music she dances all away. Met a little boy with big brown eyes. She said, "Trach gut, mit sein gut." Now met a little girl who had no hair. She said, "Trach gut, mit sein gut." Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut to me. Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut. Trach gut, mit sein gut to me. So, if you wanna come along and dance with me, say Trach gut, mit sein gut. And if you wanna come along and sing with me, say Trach gut, mit sein gut.
To know the truth when it matters the most, reports, public opinion, and more, visit our blog at bbreport.blogspot.com or on Twitter at bbreport. Or listen to our extended radio show every Monday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
We need people to hear from the hearts of people, not the political correctness or not the nice nuances about what's to happen. No, we need to speak from the heart. Because if we do not speak from the heart, people will not understand the urgency in which we must act now.
I guess, you know, these million or 2 million people that go onto CNN site are really out of touch because they don't know what's going on to the world. I urge all of you that bookmark the CNN on their browser or web page. If you want to live in another world, visit the CNN.
Yeah,
if you
no
want
doubt.
To and live in this world, you know whom to visit. TheBBReport.com.
People read. And anybody who doesn't know their history and takes their word from CNN as gold, that must be the correct reality, we've got problems. And it is very clear that the American people, when examining their own media, especially looking at situations in the Middle East, the narrative, the ideological framework, are not congruent with the reality of the facts on the ground. And this media, in this country, is used to educate people, it is used to educate our lawmakers, it is used to educate people that are in charge of forming public policy. And guess what? When public policy is formed on the basis of these absolutely false reports in the media, false information, false history, it can be detrimental to sound policymaking. And we see the Obama administration and its work with the Middle East, its inability to get anything done because its worldview is so skewed. It's based on false premises, false information. So this is what we're up against. And it's not going to get better. People need to quit assuming that the media whom they listen to is telling them the truth and that all is good and well when it's not. People need to get back to being critical thinkers because we have lost the art of critical thinking in this country. And we hope that everyone who is listening to the Beebe Report takes the report, takes the information that we present, and thoroughly looks at it, cross-checks it, examines it. Because I expect when I speak to audiences, when I present information, I want them to challenge them on the issue of the facts that I present. But if they are wrong, come back and tell me. Tell me how they're wrong and tell me why. Because right now, we have information that is not being reported. And it's very dangerous for individuals in this country especially to live in a vacuum of misinformation, disinformation, and absolute falsehoods that are being perpetrated by